If you have a Bible, go to Mark chapter 4 in the New Testament. Mark chapter 4 in the New Testament. And I want to speak to you this morning about this subject. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. Mark chapter 4. I want to begin reading in verse 35. I'll read all the way down to verse 41. Would you stand to honor the reading of God's holy, perfect, inspired word? Very familiar story. Many of us have heard this story throughout our lives. But I believe God has a fresh word for us today from it. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "On the same day when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him?'" You can be seated, and as you are, take a moment, ask God to remove anything that would distract you, that He'd truly speak to your heart, because I believe that's the case. He wants that to be the case. Father, thank you for another opportunity to preach this sermon. And God, we recognize that you moved in a powerful way in the first service. We could never replicate what happened then, but Lord, we pray that you'd move equally as powerful right now in this second service, and that you would grip our hearts, further grip our hearts with your presence. We sense that you're here and your nearness. So God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd touch my mind and help me to say only what it is you'd have me to say, and that that old devil would not steal anything from the Word of God and this sermon that could change lives today. Lord, in just a few moments, we'll have a chance to respond. And Lord, I ask that we'd simply obey you. God, your will be done right now in this moment, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 17 and Revelation chapter 19 tell us that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Not just a king, but he's the king. Not just a Lord, but the Lord. One of the challenges that the gospel writers had under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in their writings was to present Jesus as the mighty, majestic, miracle-working Son of God that was sent by God to offer salvation from God to sinners that were guilty before God. And when you read that, that's exactly what they did. They did present him as that mighty, miraculous, miracle-working Son of God. But the devil would try to convince you otherwise. You see, the devil wants to replace Jesus. False religions try to reduce Jesus and bring him down to their level. Say he's just a mere man. He was a good teacher. He's a rabbi. But he's not the Son of God. This world that we live in wants to remove Jesus altogether. The media wants to repackage Jesus. And there's even some in churches today that want to redefine who Jesus is. And it doesn't matter what the devil's up to. Doesn't matter what the world says. Jesus was the king, he's the king right now, and he's always going to be the king. In 2006, Israeli archaeologists uncovered the oldest known mosaic church floor that had ever been discovered. And it was written in Greek, and they date it to about AD 120. And this is what it said in Greek: "Our God, Jesus Christ." The early church believed that Jesus was king. And so should we today as the modern church. Now it's interesting that Matthew and Mark and Luke all use this story to defend the kingship of Jesus, to defend his unlimited rule and his unlimited reign. The disciples up to this point had never seen this type of display from Jesus. And you think of what they had seen though. They'd seen him cast out demons left and right. They'd seen him heal various people plagued by diseases, infirmities. But they'd never seen him yet speak to a literal storm and it literally stop storming. How awesome would it have been to see that day out there on that boat? I mean, can you imagine It's rough seas, winds beating on you, you're tired. And yet Jesus speaks three words and the entire storm stops. I like what one theologian said. They put it this way. The Creator gave His creation a command and it obeyed Him. And did you know that this literal storm has down through time been used symbolically to represent the storms that you and I face in this life? And you can call storms many different things. There's many different classifications. You can call them distressing circumstances. You can call them hardships. You can call them trials. But I guarantee you that there's people in here because of a storm that you have faced in the past, or maybe you are currently facing right now, your faith has faltered because of the storms. And isn't that interesting that storms can directly impact our faith concerning Jesus? And I don't know what your storm may be in here this morning. It could be that you're facing the storm of disunity. Maybe there's people in your family that used to get along and now they're doing this. People that used to be close and now they won't even speak to each other around Christmas time or Thanksgiving. Maybe it's the storm of a disconnected spouse. Maybe you used to be close to the one you made vows with right there at the altar. And now you're disconnected. And maybe that's spilled over and even caused a divorce. And so you're going through this storm of divorce. Maybe you're going through a storm of discouragement or a storm of being dismissed from a job. You thought you had job security. And now you don't have a position facing 2018 and you wonder what you're going to do. Maybe you're facing the storm of defiant children. Parents, you've done everything you know to do to raise them under the Word of God, to have them in church, but not just have them in church, but show them the way of Jesus. And yet they're running and doing their own thing. Maybe it's a storm of a depressing health condition, and we see a lot of those, don't we? Maybe it's the storm of being defeated in your work environment because you're trying to take a stand for Jesus and people are ridiculing you, belittling you because you're standing for Him and what matters, what's right. Maybe it's the storm of the death of a loved one, somebody in your family that you love deeply and they're not here anymore and the devil's just whispering in your ear, Jesus has abandoned you. You might as well do your own thing because God doesn't care. And folks, when we go through those times, why is it so easy to think that way? That God doesn't care? Why is it so easy? Well, write this down if you're taking notes. Number one, storms can be convincing. Storms can be convincing. They can outright lie to you. I mean, think about what this passage teaches us concerning this truth. Storms will convince you that Jesus isn't in control. Did you see right there? In verse number 35, at the end of that verse, Jesus Himself said, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now listen, if Jesus says, "Let us cross over to the other side," do you think you're going to get to the other side? This is God in the flesh, folks. Second person in the Trinity, equal with God. If He says you're going to get to the other side, you're going to get to the other side. But because this storm was so severe, and it was so paralyzing to the disciples, they had forgotten the Word of God. They had forgotten the words of Jesus. How often are we like that? We find ourselves in a storm, and maybe we've received a word from God, and yet because the storm cripples our faith, we find ourselves defeated and discouraged about that storm and wondering, does Jesus really care? And that's the second thing that storms will do to us. Not only do they try to convince us that Jesus isn't in control, but they'll try to convince you that Jesus doesn't care. Look at what the disciples said to Him in verse 38. They went down there. Jesus is asleep after a long day of ministry. He's tired. You see the humanity of Jesus right there. And they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" In other words, Jesus, do you not care that we're about to die? And that word care means to be of concern. It means to be of interest. And so, isn't it like the devil, when you find yourself in a storm, to whisper in your ear and say to you, Jesus isn't even aware of what's going on. Look at Him. He's asleep over there. He's aloof. He's not worried about your situation. He's not even worried. Is that where some of you might be today? The devil's convinced you Jesus doesn't care. But folks, when you go through that, you got to remind yourself of what the Scriptures teach us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. It says to cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Jesus cares deeply for you. And if He is your Savior in here this morning, He's going to see you through the storm. He has the power to change the storm, but as Pastor Bill made reference a few moments ago, He can change you in the storm so that you can endure it because He cares for you. Well, that's not the only thing that storms can be convincing of. They can also convince us that Jesus can't change anything. Look at what it says there again in verse 40. Jesus said after He had spoken to this storm, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And yet, we see here that Jesus certainly was able to move in that situation. And whatever you're going through in here this morning, whatever storm you may be facing, this passage teaches us that Jesus is still King inside that storm, and He can change what's going on. He can change the entire situation. You know, I was thinking as I was preparing for the sermon, when I was in middle school, I lived in Ohio, and we used to go on vacation down to Florida. And one of the years we went down there, we went deep sea fishing. I'd heard of deep sea fishing, but it's hard to deep sea fish in Ohio. And so I was like, sure, I'll go. And my grandfather and my uncle had convinced my dad and I to go deep sea fishing. So we launched out of Sebastian's Inlet. It's around Vero Beach. We went 17 miles off the east coast of Florida, out in the Atlantic. And man, it was windy, Brother Greg. It was rough seas, and we were on a little bitty boat, like 30 foot long, and that's not big when you're in the open seas. And I got out there, and I'd heard of being seasick, but I'd never experienced seasick. And I'm telling you, I was green for a long time. And I think they try to torture you on those trips because they know they got you. You can't get away from them. They start at like 8 in the morning. They're going to keep you till 4 o'clock. And so the fish weren't biting. I mean, it was just a bad day. I think I could have endured it a little better had I caught a fish, but I mean, there weren't nothing going on. Maybe the fish were sick too. I don't know, but man, it was bad. And so it was just a miserable day. And I got to thinking about it. You know the moment that I started feeling better, when my stomach started to settle down, was when the captain of that boat took me back to calmer waters. And I got to thinking about that. We're not talking about a boat captain this morning. When you face these storms in life that can literally wreck and rock your world, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And not only can He take you to calmer waters, but He can still the waves instantaneously. You know, I remember growing up in high school in Central Florida. We actually moved down to Florida. And I lived on a lake, it was a little bit smaller than the Sea of Galilee, 3,400 acres. And I remember watching those big storms come in, those big thunderstorms. And it'd take them a while to dissipate. And I mean, the sun could be back out. And so those of you that are from Florida, you know this. I mean, the waves are still choppy, the wind's still blowing. It takes them a while to subside. But Jesus just simply spoke, and immediately a great calm took place. Let Jesus speak to you. Whatever you're going through in here this morning, let Jesus see you through the storm, because storms can be convincing. But secondly, think about this. Storms can also be redefining. Don't forget that God can take a storm and use it to teach you something special about Jesus. God can take a storm and use it to teach you something special about His Son, Jesus Christ. So storms can be redefining. God certainly allowed this storm. He might have even caused it. Some of the storms that you're going through in here this morning, it's no question that He's allowed them to happen, but He may have even caused it because He wants to teach you something about His Son. I love what the psalmist says. It was an Old Testament problem back then too. People would face storms in this life and they'd get their focus out of line. So one of the things that's refined when we're going through a storm is our focus. But listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 48. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." We may say it like this today. Before I went through a storm, I used to not listen to God, but now I obey Him. And look at what it says on farther down in verse 71. The psalmist says, "It's been good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." See, listen, folks, I think a lot of times we think when we go through a storm that God's angry at us. God may be disciplining us, but He's doing that to help us, not to hurt us, although it may hurt in the process. He's trying to help us and humble us. Why? Because so often we get independent, don't we? We become indifferent to the things of God. And so God's got to send a storm down our way to get our focus back to where it should be. And so let God have His perfect work in here this morning. If we'd settle down, stop complaining to Him, and just trust Him the way He was teaching His disciples, we'll come out on the other side having seen Jesus do an amazing work. Anybody out of focus in here this morning? Feel distracted? Overwhelmed? Feel like you're going to die because of your situation? Disciples did. So He wants to refine our focus. But secondly, storms can be used by God to refine our faith. And that's what Jesus was after. He was putting the faith of the disciples to the test. If you have faith in here this morning, it's going to be tested at some point. And probably more than once, because He's going to continue to teach you. You can trust Me in any situation. Jesus took center stage. They go down there and they wake Him up. And can't you see it? Jesus down there sleeping, waves crashing, water's filling up in the boat. And they're, Jesus, do something. Don't you care? We're about to die. And can't you see Him? Shh, peace. Be still. Just immediately. Wouldn't that have been amazing? It's incredible. The disciples were worried about Jesus, but hang on to this. He wasn't worried about His disciples. Did you catch? I think you missed it right there. I want to say that again to you. They were worried about Jesus, but He wasn't worried about His disciples. Why? Because they're in God's will. They're doing what Jesus told them to do. So why do we think God's going to fail us when we're in the middle of His will doing what He's told us to do when a storm comes along? He's going to see us through because His word is true. So He was refining their faith. He was teaching them that they could trust Him in any situation, in any setting, in any storm, showing them that He wasn't just going to say it, but that He was in fact the master of everything. Even nature bowed at the feet of Jesus. That's incredible, folks. Nature bowed at Jesus. And so He was using it to refine their faith. And it says here, He said, peace be still. Mark is the only one that records those three little words. The other gospel writers were silent. I don't know why. That's a question maybe we can ask the Holy Spirit one day. But I'm glad He put those three words in there. Because the word peace speaks of silence. It means hush. It means to be mute. The word still means to be muzzled. Literally, in the Greek, that means be silent, be muzzled. And it's interesting to me that it's the same terminology that Jesus used in Mark chapter 1 and verse 25 when He spoke to a demon-possessed man and He said to that demon, be quiet, come out of him. Isn't that amazing? That's the same authority, same wording that Jesus used. And I'm encouraged today to tell you that Jesus can speak directly into your situation. He can speak peace into your life. Think about it. Boy, some interesting stuff happened when Jesus started speaking. You ever picked up on that in Scripture? Jesus spoke and demons left His presence scared with their tail tucked between their legs because they just run into the presence of God. Scared out of their minds because of Jesus. He spoke and demons had to flee. He spoke and people with disablements all of a sudden could walk and run and leap. People that were deaf could all of a sudden hear. People that were blind could all of a sudden see. People that were dead got back up out of the grave because Jesus spoke to them. And some even cooler stuff's going to take place one day when Jesus speaks to all of the enemies of God at the Battle of Armageddon. And it says a shot is not going to be fired, a bomb is not going to be dropped. Jesus is simply going to speak and the enemies of God are going to be slain by the millions. That's how powerful Jesus is. Let Him speak into your heart today. And it's not just Jesus that's speaking. The Bible speaks about the peace that Jesus offers as well. In the Old Testament, I love Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. It says, "You will," speaking of God, "you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." God gives peace to the human heart that focuses on Him. Whatever you're going through. I remember working at the horse farm. They put those blinders on those horses. Why? To keep them from getting distracted by what's going on. Can I tell you, be focused this morning. Focus on Jesus because He'll give you peace in the middle of that storm. I love what Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. He said, the God of peace, David, he said, will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Isn't that an awesome prospect? I may be in a fight with the devil and he may be wearing me out, but one day God is going to crush him under my feet. That's the authority that Jesus has. That's the ability that Jesus has. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 says that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And the preceding verse before that, he tells us how that's a possibility. Paul said, make your request known to God. Folks, tell him what you're struggling with. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to share your burdens and your storms with him. And then, if we're spiritually mature enough, we'll take it at God's word that I've given him my request, and he's going to handle it according to his will. So rest in knowing that today. Rest in knowing that today. I always get a kick out of watching these weathermen and weatherwomen on TV that are in the middle of the storm giving you live coverage, you know, moment-to-moment updates. And I remember watching back during the summer during one of those hurricanes, I think it was Hurricane Irma, and one of the Weather Channel guys, I won't mention names because you probably one of you may be a friend to him or something, but he looked like Iron Man out there. He had a helmet on, had shoulder pads, like he's ready to go to war, and he's out there, and he's like, I'm in the middle of the storm, and man, you know, wouldn't you like to just see a parking meter come flying by and take him out one time? Wouldn't that be funny? And I mean, they're just out there just, I'm in the middle of the storm and you can depend on us. No, you can't. One of my family members said they're the only person that could make six figures and be wrong most of the time. I mean, that's just the way it is. Why aren't they right when they're in the middle of the storm? They're depending on human wisdom and human instruments. Folks, we're depending on Jesus. He's always right in the middle of the storm. He's always going to be the one that's in charge. Praise the Lord. So, storms can be refining. Storms can be convincing. But then thirdly, in closing, storms can be awe-inspiring. They can be awe-inspiring. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time that you went through a storm and you came out on the other side of it and you were just in awe of what God did? That's what the disciples had happen to them. It says they were just in awe of what Jesus had done. Folks, a lot of you have heard what happened to my dad this past summer, and he was diagnosed with cancer on May 31st, and on June the 2nd had the chance to see my dad get saved in a hospital bed and see my dad live a saved life for the last 2 months of his life here on earth. And if you fast forward to about mid-July toward the end where dad really started to go downhill, the room that my dad prayed to receive Christ in at the hospital there in Cincinnati was room 8369. I told the first service, I think I'll forever have it etched in my brain, 8369. But when dad started to go downhill fast, he went back to the hospital. Guess what room they put him back in? 8369. You mean to tell me in all the rooms in that hospital, all the rooms on that cancer hallway that they could have put my dad in, the one they put him in to leave this earth and to go meet Jesus was the very room that he prayed to receive Christ in? That's how God was working, folks. And that's just one of many instances where I saw God do something in the middle of that storm, watching my dad suffer, that just made me step back and say, wow, God, you're awesome. Just keep it up, Lord. Help me to stay strong. That's the kind of God you serve today. That's the kind of Savior that you have that'll walk with you hand in hand in those storms. When's the last time you found yourself getting ready to go into a storm? And you said, I wonder what God's going to show me this time. How many times do we have this attitude? I can't believe this is me. I can't believe this is happening to me. Versus saying, God, I know you've brought me into this. You're going to see me through it. Help me. Help me. Show me how awesome you're going to be. And He will, because He said He would. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You can call to Him in the darkest of nights and He'll answer and He'll see you through. The Bible says He never takes His eyes off of you. And Jesus is always with you. Why do we walk around so defeated and discouraged all the time? And I need this. It's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? When you look at this sin-cursed world and people doing God only knows what, and you just think, is there really any hope? And the devil will just pound on you after a while. And Pastor Bill can tell you, when you get up and preach and people just look at you like you're crazy half the time, not that you guys do, but it's other people, you know what I mean? And you just think, why do I need to keep doing this? Nobody's listening. Jesus is real, and He'll see you through the storm, and He is listening. I need to do a better job of rejecting that line of thinking, because the people of God are going to listen to the Word of God if their hearts are hungry. And I think we got some hungry people in Grace Baptist Church. Pray more of you are hungry after this one today. You'll be back tonight. So He wanted to show them His authority. They were all inspired because of His authority. That word where it says He spoke and the wind obeyed Him. It says, they said in verse 41, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him? The word obey there means to listen under as a subordinate. It means to conform to a command. I already told you, but it's worth telling you again. Jesus, the Creator, spoke to His creation and it listened. Let me ask you this. Why is it that storms, wind, waves will listen to Jesus, but yet we won't at times? Folks, you and I have access to that power. This isn't something that was just neat a few hundred years ago. That's a good story. We live in a relevant society. That's neat, Brian. Those are nice stories. Folks, He's real today. And His power is real today. And some of you need to experience it, maybe for the first time today. And you'll come out of this service awe inspired by what He's done in your life. And you'll continue to be in awe of Him. So they were in awe because of His authority, but they were in awe because of His authenticity. I told you, the gospel writers, their goal was to present Jesus as King, the Messiah, the Savior, mighty, majestic, miracle-working God, as proof that you can believe in Him. And so when you read your Bible and you read those stories, you can. This isn't a children's book, folks. Although children can be blessed by it. It's not a fairy tale. Not a fiction novel. John said at the end of his gospel, we've written these things that you might believe. Excuse me, not his gospel, his letter. He said at the end of the gospel, we've written these things that you would believe and have life in His name. So, do you today? Do you today? I want to close with the words from an old hymn. Many of you could sing this, I'm sure. Till the storm passes by. It says, many times Satan whispered, there's no need to try. For there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know you are with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Aren't you glad that day's coming? One of the other verses says, when the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in Thy presence on the bright, peaceful shore. In that land where tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with Thee when the storm passes by. Listen to the chorus. Till the storm passes over, the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky, hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of Thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Hold on, folks. The storm's going to pass, but Jesus isn't going to pass you by. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I would ask that, unless it's an absolute emergency, everybody stay right here. Nobody move. It's very possible that there is someone, maybe more than one, here today that you've never experienced the life-changing power of Jesus. Could be you've heard about Him for a long time. And maybe because you've been so flooded with the gospel living in the United States that your heart's become numb to it. And you think, that could never be for me. I've done too much wrong. He could never save me. I'm not sure He wants to. Folks, let me set your heart at ease. He wants to save you. Sent the Holy Spirit here this morning to manifest Jesus' presence in such a way that He can save you. And maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. A few moments from now, Pastor Bill will be down here in the middle. I'll stand next to him. Other counselors will be ready. If you want to give your life to Jesus, would you come and let one of us know? We'll lead you to Jesus, and your life can be changed as ours has been. But how many of you would be honest with yourselves and say, my faith has faltered because of the storms that I've faced or the storms that I'm in? I'm going to invite you to come to this altar, maybe stay right where you're at, maybe even to get on your knees and to pray. Tell God you're sorry for letting your faith falter because you've gone through a storm, and ask Him, Lord, give me strength to make it through this one and maybe the next one that's coming. And then finally, our January revival will kick off next Sunday. I pray that we'll pack this place in every service. People be saved, people surrender to missions and ministry, that the anointing of God will be upon every service. Would you join us in praying that that'd be the case? And I know many of you already are. Maybe God would move it upon your heart to come to the altar and pray for revival. But I encourage you to do so. Whatever it is that God's laid on your heart, whatever He's convicted you to do, just simply do that. Father, I thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your presence, Lord. Thank You for the promises that we see in Your Word. And I pray, God, that 2018 would be the best year that Grace Baptist Church has ever experienced. That our entire congregation would be hungry for the things of God. That we wouldn't become apathetic and complacent. Just blow it off as something to do. But God, something, a life You've called us to that can literally impact eternity. I pray that You'll give us courage to follow You no matter the cost and wherever that may lead. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet very quietly, very reverently. If God's spoken to your heart, now's the time.